tonight, I would like for us to sing one verse of a song, 484, The Love of God. I would like for us to sing verse 3. Thank the Lord for this song. It's probably been one of my favorite songs in my life, and it's very difficult to describe the love of God. And this song seems to, even though it may be greater than what we can imagine, it still puts a picture in our mind of how great the love of God is. The topic of God's love we want to continue with this evening. We've had two previous messages. One was the love of God in action, and one was making love a priority. So our message tonight has a title of Love in Adversity. Last week, I ended with a scripture that's familiar to us all, and it said that Jesus gave this question and said, "When I return, will I find faith?" We also used the scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, as part of the message, and especially the last verse, which said, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." So I believe that we can safely say again that when Christ returns, we could say, "Will he find love?" In 2 Timothy, I have two scriptures I want to use. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4, parts of those verses, and then Matthew 24 and 12. And it says, "This know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, without natural affection, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." I believe with the observation of our times, and even according to the biblical prophecies, I believe the peril of this age is both faith and love will be low. The messages of this time is mainly to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Another part of a message will be, but also fight the good fight of faith. And then the last thought is that we must not become lukewarm in our love, but our love needs to be hot. In that particular passage, the word says that he did not want us to be lukewarm. He wanted us to be hot or cold. And the scripture says that he would spew us out of his mouth if we were lukewarm. So I believe there is a great need that we be fighting the good fight of faith, that we lay hold on eternal life, and that we also strive to be fervent in our love for God. I believe God is calling, and I'm going to say loudly in this age that we be strong in faith, that we grow in faith, that we not allow the enemy of our soul to attack our faith. We know what the word says, that he wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. The scripture also says that he knoweth that he hath but a short time. But I believe that he is an attacker. He is an opposer of the faith of the saints of God, probably more now than at any other time. But I believe that God is also calling for each one of us to have a deeper love, a more fervent love than we've ever had before. And if you go back to any of the other messages, it explains that if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. It explains that he loved us first, that he has an everlasting love, but he is desiring that we love him with all of our hearts. We had that in our last message also, that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And when we look at that verse, we see there's no room for us to let our love go out to anything less than the love of God. And the whole world has a certain love for the world. And yet the scripture says, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So there is no place that I can share my love. It has to be entirely toward God and his word and his people. The scripture there also went on to say, not only for us to love the Lord our God supremely, but it says for us to love others as he loves us. So that's all part of the messages that we've already given. But this afternoon, this evening, we're going to speak about love, the love that is in adversity. There are a number of synonyms I want to use concerning adversity, and I hope that it will draw our minds to think about maybe our past life, where we've been, the trials, the burdens that we have borne, maybe even afflictions. All of those would come under adversity. And so in the events of our life, as each one of us might look back, we may say, well, there's trouble. There's been sorrow. I've tasted trouble and sorrow. God has allowed trouble and sorrow to visit my life and have a part in my life. It's for a reason, though, as we consider not just trouble and sorrow, there are other things that come to us in life, and we can identify them as difficulties, things that would trouble me and hinder me. Also, there's misfortune. We can have things come our way where we may lose everything we own in a moment, so to speak. We've remembered Sister Linda Probes and her family and their house that was in the path of a wildfire, and they weren't at home, and it totally destroyed everything in that house. They had absolutely nothing left, to my knowledge. So that would be a real adversity of misfortune and a calamity. We have calamities. Calamities are around the world. That's an adversity. We may have calamities come in our lives. Another adversity is poverty. We could maybe find ourselves totally without any financial resources, and we would find ourselves in poverty. Adversity can be in offenses. It can be in wounds of maybe the friends or family that we are affected with what is done, what is said. We could call that an adversity. We can also call it an adversity if we have an affliction that comes upon our body, and also prolonged trials could be under that same category of adversity. And then we might have even broken health and our life change, so to speak, in a moment. So as God is looking upon his children, he sometimes permits these things to come into our life. He wants it to work for our good. We have been taught that. We have heard many messages concerning the scripture that he will cause all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He wants the child of God, the people of God, to have confidence and faith that God's love is real to them and his love is true. And we believe and we stand on his word that God's love to us, that there's a song that says, nothing can touch us except it pass through his hands. And someone wrote that song and had a vision, and maybe they had an experience that some of the adversities of life came into their life, and their faith taught them that God does not just allow anything. It's only that which he permits. And that song could be said that it is based on the scripture that he will always make a way for us to escape, that he will never give us more than we're able to bear. Many times when you and I are in a trial of affliction, or if we're in a trial of any kind of adversity, we might use those scriptures when we're crying out to the Lord. Lord, you said that you would not give us more than we're able to bear, but that you would make a way for us to escape. And another promise to the people of God is that God has said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. These are scriptures that we may quote to ourselves, or others may even say those things to us, and we may go before the Lord and, Lord, you said this, this is your word, and I'm going to believe your word. And we stand on his word, and we find that God's grace has been sufficient in all of the cares of life and the battles of life and the adversities of life. So now we want to bring our minds to look at an example. We're going to look in Job for the remaining part of the message. We'd like for you to look at first, well, we're going to be looking at certain chapters of Job, but I want us to consider the life and example of Job. And I personally thank God for the book of Job. But before I continue, I want to give you this little information that I found. The title of the book of Job in the Hebrew language, it was in the Hebrew meaning of Job, it was persecuted one. That's what the book of Job stood for and what Job meant. And there is also another meaning in the Arabic language, and it says to come back or repent. So we're going to be looking at first three chapters of Job. We're going to look at chapter 7, chapter 23, and chapter 42. most of us are very familiar with Job and his life, his beginning and his end. But we want to consider how that Job loved God. Job was a man of integrity that feared God and he hated evil. He worshiped God. He made sacrifices for his children just in case maybe they sinned and he didn't know that they would have sinned. But he was a man that God knew and God testified of him. God gave a testimony of Job when he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, for he is perfect and an upright man that fears God and hates evil." And God not only believed in Job, but he trusted that Job would come through the hardest tests of his life, that he would be brought out into a wealthy place, that he would still maintain his integrity with God. So that was God's testimony of Job. And then we skip on down in the first chapter and we find that suddenly something happened, and it was unexpectedly it happened, and he was unprepared for this. It was almost like he woke up one day, and by the end of that day, his life was changed by a loss and destruction and death, and he found himself a poor man. He was a wealthy man, but in the beginning of that day, he was a strong man. He was a man that believed in living for God and trusting in God. But it says in verse 14, "And there came a messenger unto Job, and he had a report of destruction." It goes on down in verse 16. It says, "While he was yet speaking, here came another messenger, and he gave him another bad report of destruction." And then it says again, "While he was yet speaking, here came another report." And all of these reports were of destruction. And he lost all of his 10 children. Now, I want to tell you something. I know what it is to lose one child, but I cannot imagine losing all of my children at one time. It would be one of the hardest things that I could possibly think of to face in life. But Job faced all of it suddenly and unexpectedly, and he wasn't necessarily prepared for it. It doesn't appear that it was. But you go to verse 30, and we have Job's reaction. And it said that he arose and he rent his mantle. And then verse 21, he simply said this, "Oh, if you and I could love God as he loved God, and if we could love God in our adversity, what a blessing it would be. It would pay us to love God in our adversity." But he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Oh, if we could love God to that extent, that whatever happens to me in life, all of the heartaches, all of the losses that I might meet, all of the adversities, all of the afflictions that might come upon us, and maybe as we're studying this, we may see it's hard to really praise God when we're in the loss and adversity. But Job did. That's the kind of love he had for God. And God had confidence in him. Remember that. I want God to have confidence in me. Don't you? Don't you want God to look upon you and say, "This is my servant. Have you ever considered my servant? How that he loves God and he hates evil." Oh, I want to tell you, that's what God is looking for in our lives. in the verse 22, is that in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I want to speak just a little bit about this charging God foolishly. I know there are people, I've heard it. We've all heard of people that when hard places come in their life, that they begin to blame God for the hard things that have come in their life. And they'll question it. And they'll even make statements that would almost put a fear on me to blame God in any way. We may question it, but to blame God and charge God foolishly is going to affect our faith, and it's going to affect our love that we have for God. So the next chapter, we're going to read a few verses. It changes just a little bit. And we're going to look at verse 3 and just a part of it in the lower, the last part of it. It says, still. In this particular chapter is when Satan is making his second attack. And we know what that is. The first attack was all of his material goods, his earthly goods, his riches. You and I may look around our houses. We may look at our house and all that we have, and maybe we would say, would I be willing to lose everything I have? And yet Satan touched his flesh. And many times we may almost choose to not have the physical affliction and keep our earthly goods. But here it said, verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? And then we go to verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Verse 5, but put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Verse 7 says, and so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown. Verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Isn't that a good example for us to look at and consider? I find that a good example. I probably should have been reading this before I met with my little accident a few weeks ago. I should have been considering the example of Job in the beginning. We go now to another chapter, chapter 3. Now we're seeing a reaction to the affliction that has laid hold on his body. And it isn't an affliction that is over in a day or a week. Many times when you and I get under an affliction, what are we doing? We're going to the Lord, oh God, stop this affliction. Take away this pain. Take away this suffering. Oh, we just beg the Lord to get out from those afflictions. We all do that. But it says, here was Job's reaction as darkness came upon his mind and his life, and he couldn't see an end to it. And we really don't know how long this affliction lasted, but it lasted long enough that Job had some thoughts that you and I might have if we're in an affliction and we our lives are changed and we no longer can do the things that we once did. But verse 3 says, here's what he said, let the day perish wherein I was born. He was so discouraged. He looked back at his birth and he wished he hadn't been born. Now that's pretty low, I would think. And it's a pretty dark day when you would look back and wish you had not been born. And verse 4 says, let that day be darkness. Verse 5, let darkness stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Oh, Job was in a very low place. And actually, you and I might be in a low place of an affliction, and we may have good caregivers. I've had good caregivers. I've had those that were here that could pray when I got in trouble, and I had those that would encourage me and press me to keep going on. Job had friends that came and they sat before him, I think it says, 7 days, and didn't even say a word. And those friends became miserable comforters, the scriptures call it. So Job didn't have what I even had. I thank the Lord for those that have been willing to sacrifice and be here to help me, to do this, to trust the Lord and to carry out our convictions before God. That's a real blessing, but Job did not have that. And it was very dark when he passed through this part of his life and when he was afflicted from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And you skip down to verse 11 and it says, why died I not from the womb? Don't you see how discouraged that he became in those dark hours? We go on down in the same chapter and verse 23. I'm just giving you some highlight scriptures for the sake of time. Verse 23 says, why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? There's sometimes afflictions come our way and adversities come our way, and maybe we feel like we're shut up and we can't see a way out. And Job called this, he was hedged in, that God had hedged him in. And verse 24 says, for sighing cometh before I eat. What does that mean? I don't even feel like I want to eat. I'm just weary with this affliction that has laid hold of my body, this adversity. And, oh, I'm telling you, Job was put to the test for the love that he once had for God. And it goes on and it says, and my roarings are poured out like waters for the thing. Now listen to this scripture, verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. How many times have we meditated or thought about or just even considered in our life? For myself, it's for many years now, I have prayed, Lord, help me to be able to take care of myself to my last breath, and help me to not be a burden to anyone. And don't you know that the enemy has come and contested my memory of that prayer and that request? Did God answer your prayer? Well, you could almost say that thing which I feared has come upon me. Maybe you have some things in your mind that you would dread happen to you before you left this world. We all do. One of the greatest fears of most people is they don't want to end up in a nursing home. That's a great fear. And many people have ended up in a nursing home. So those things that they feared came upon them. And So that's what Job is saying at the end of chapter 3. Now, I want us to go to chapter 7. And at the beginning of this chapter, Job is beginning to question God's, or allowing the trial to continue. So we'll just read a few verses in this chapter, in verse 11. Now remember, Job had a great love for God. God had a great love for him. But God has allowed him to be tested and tried seemingly to the limit. And now Job is beginning to question, how often do you and I get in adversities? And maybe we begin to question also. Maybe we're not charging God foolishly, but we may be wondering, why, Lord, why have you permitted this in my life? You remember when Brother Veda was in the car wreck and was broken up so, and he chose to go home and trust God. And Brother Clifford Wilson went there to help take care of him. And I heard that Brother Veda, one of the first things he said to Brother Clifford was, I wonder what God is trying to say to me now. Well, we can have some good questions, but there are other questions that may not be that profitable when we're in the midst of adversity. But that's a good question. We may say, well, I wonder what the Lord is trying to do in my life. I personally have said that in this event that I am going through. I don't have an answer. And maybe a lot of times we won't have an answer. But maybe when we get past an adversity, an affliction, or a trial, we may be able to look back. I know in the past, as I've been laying here on the bed and looking over the past 40 years and the times that I trusted God and he came to my rescue and he touched me and healed me and raised me up and restored me. Well, when I would get past it, oftentimes I would say, oh, I was in a school and I learned things I could not have learned any other way. And I am trusting that God will help me in this right here, that when I get past it, I can look back and see the goodness of the Lord and the hand of the Lord. Well, Job was in that place, and so he began to question God. And verse 11 says, therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. Oh, he had thoughts. Well, God knows our thoughts. Even if we don't speak the words, God knows our thoughts. God knew Job's thoughts. And he said, I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. That's probably not the best time to talk. When we're distressed in our mind, in our body, in our soul, in our spirit, and maybe our nerves are even distressed, that's not the time to go before God and say, why are you doing this to me? But it says he would speak with the anguish of his spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I want to tell you something. We could all learn something from this verse right here. It will be best if we talk to God when we're calm in our spirit. And verse 15, it says, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than life. I want to tell you something. When this happened to me and in the beginning of it, I think I've even said it to the congregation, and how that Brother Stanley once told me that I would get out of a cage when I consecrated to live or die. Well, it just happened that this time it was easier to consecrate to die than it was to live. And so it is here with Job. He would have liked to have died. He didn't want to live in that adversity and in that affliction. We skip on down to the verse 20, and it says, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Something happened as he expressed all of his thoughts before the Lord in the bitterness of his soul, and in the he would speak in the anguish of his spirit, and if he was still wishing to die in the midst of it, and then all of a sudden he says, I've sinned. You know, it will pay us to be aware of our passions and our thoughts. And again, I want to say that when you're in the midst of a hard place, it's so good to have those that are around you to comfort you and encourage you and pray for you and help fight the battles. And I remember one night when I was in a very hard battle, and early on in this place I'm in, and I didn't know how to fight the battle. And I said that, and Sarah was here with me, and Cynthia was with me, and they said, let others fight the battle for you. Did you know that there reaches places, we'll get in places that we won't know how to fight. And yet God has those who can help us fight the battle. What a blessing it is. And that God loves us so dearly that he'll provide those to help fight the battle. Thank the Lord. So Job here says, O thou preserver of men. I want to tell you, God wants to preserve each one of us in those places where he allows us to be. He will preserve. You may get in a dark place and you may feel like, oh, I will not survive this. But God wants to preserve us in that place. And then he said, why hast thou set me as a mark? That's a legitimate question. Why did you set me as a mark? So that I am a burden to myself. He hadn't come completely out, but he's beginning to understand that you don't question God. And he didn't charge God in the beginning. But when God allows an affliction to remain a length of time and it wears and tears on the flesh, then you have to stop and think, maybe I've questioned God too closely. Okay, let's go then to chapter 23. Desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to get something good out of the life of Job and his victory. So now in this particular chapter, Job is reasoning more with himself. Ultimately, well, let's just read it, and I won't make too many comments. It says, Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Now we still are in his battle. Remember, his friends did not give him courage or comfort. He's in it alone, and he felt that God had forsaken him. I want to tell you that you and I may get in places of adversity and feel the same thing that Job felt here. And he said, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his heart, to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He seesaws back and forth. Maybe as you're fighting the battles of adversity, and even as you might feel that your love for God is not as fervent, and maybe you even doubt that your faith. There's been times I have wondered if I even had faith. And yet those that were around me were encouraging me and helping me maintain and hold on to faith. But here he said that I'm even going to make, let me see where I've lost my place. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with argument, and I would know the words that he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. God's wanting to help us in our adversities. His love has not grown cold. He doesn't have a lukewarm love for you and me. His love for us is just as fervent when he brings me into a hard place that I'm encompassed about and can't find a way out. He still loves me. Thank the Lord. And it goes on, it said, I would order my cause before him. I would know the words he would answer. And will he plead against me with his great power? Sometimes we might feel that way. But his answer was no. Job said no, but he will put strength in me. What a blessing. God is bringing Job to a place that he's being refined and he's being restored and he's being strengthened and he's being renewed and revisited. Didn't David say a lot of those things in the book of Psalms? Renew a right spirit within me. Oh, I want to tell you, God is willing to work a lifetime for you and a lifetime for me. And he's willing to bring us through and prove himself. How many times have we said to the congregation that God wants to prove himself? I need those words. Maybe tonight I'm preaching to myself. But if life goes on and time goes on, you may find yourself in a place of adversity. Be sure and check your faith and your love that you have for God. Now let's go on reading. Will he plead against me? No, but he will put strength in me. There, the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, oh, this is familiar verses now. It says, verse 8, I go forward, he's not there, and backward, I cannot perceive him, and on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself in the right hand, that I cannot see him. I want to tell you, in the adversities of life, in the afflictions and the problems, you and I may be in those places too, that we cannot feel him or find him or even hear him. Job did. And then in verse 10, this is what happened afterwards. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, do you see the little changes coming in Job now? I shall come forth as gold. That's what we have to look for. Another scripture that we've used in some of these messages, that he will bring us out into a wealthy place. Oh, the Lord, in the past, in the afflictions I suffered in the past, in the trials and the burdens and the tests and all of it in the past, that was my testimony. He has brought me out into a wealthy place. And then he says, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Oh, I want to tell you, the book of Job can minister unto you and me in this day, in this age. We don't have to be destroyed because something came upon us suddenly and we might not have felt like we were prepared for it. So it says, verse 14, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. and many such things are with him. God wants to perform in me. He wants to perform in you something good that he has allowed to come that is very hard. Thank the Lord. Now let's go to the last chapter, verse 42. I still hope that you're able to grasp hold of the fact that Job loved God. God loved Job. He had a purpose. He had a reason for allowing Job to go through it. And if no other purpose or no other reason, this book in the Bible has been maintained and retained for you and me today. That if we pass through these places ourselves, we can look at the book of Job, and when we feel in darkness and we feel doubtful of our faith and we even feel doubtful that we can trust God, we can look at this and say, Job felt that way too. So in the 42nd chapter and the beginning of it, Job is confessing to God. And you know what? When we get in those low places, dark places, we have the mind battles. The enemy is coming against us and feels like he's about to win. And maybe we feel discouraged and downcast and all of that. It's good to go back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I failed a little bit there. It's not that you're saying that you're totally cast off, but I want to tell you, we need to keep a tender heart before God in the way that we respond to God in our afflictions. In verse 3, it says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Many times we'll just be hasty in the thing that we might say when we're pressed on every side and it's dark and I feel discouraged because I'm in this place of adversity. And it goes on and it says, now this part is where Job repents. He said, hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. He's got a little different tone of voice here. He's not questioning God now. He's already admitted, I didn't understand those things that I questioned about you, Lord. But he says, I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, listen to this, I abhor myself. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry I let myself get to that place that I questioned God. And then he says, and I will repent in dust and ashes. And of course, the last part of this chapter is so good. It's not very many verses. It almost seems like it could be another whole chapter, but it's the deliverance of Job. And the scripture says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends who didn't encourage him. I added that. And when he also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had, and then it tells all that he had. But that's a wonderful, wonderful account. And it gives us hope that God will bring you and me through the adversities of life and bring us out into a wealthy place, and that we can still love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, mind, and strength. We can love others as we love ourselves and as God loves us. So even though we might have these places and we might experience the dark places and the questions and sometimes may be tempted to charge God foolishly. If we will maintain our hope in God, God will bring us through and bring us out into a wealthy place. I want to thank the Lord for the way that he has worked with me throughout these past weeks. I have a hope that he's going to bring me through. And I pray that the Lord will help each of you grasp something when you face your adversities, that you will have a love for God that will survive the adversity. Pray for me.